Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, the 21st chapter. Luke chapter 21 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1105, page 1105. We'll start with verse 10 and read through verse 18. We'll read these verses responsively. Verse 19. Once again, Luke chapter 21, beginning with verse 10 and reading through verse 19, and reading the verses responsively. Shall we stand, please, as we always do, for the reading of the Word of God? Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you, and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues, and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist, and you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And let's pray. And Father, you've given us a wonderful day. It's wonderful, not just because the skies might be fair, but it's wonderful because we have a church. We have freedom to come and to assemble. And we have all the blessing and joy that's felt by our souls. The fellowship, the singing, the preaching of your word. And what a wonderful, wonderful privilege we enjoy. Thank you for it. Thank you for making it all possible. We pray for thy Spirit's leadership and blessing in the service now. Help our preacher and help us to give attention to every detail of that which is preached. In Jesus' name, amen.
Take your Bibles and open them again, please, to Luke chapter 21. I want to show you two very, very important verses in the Bible. I want to speak this morning on the subject, own yourself. Own yourself. When you have found Luke 21, I want you to look this way, and I want to tell you a word, and I want you to read a couple of scriptures with me. Our Lord never said anything while he was on earth more important to us, apart from how to be saved, than these verses right here. He is looking down to this age when he says these words. And he tells us in these words what's going to happen in this age. And then he tells us what we're to do in light of all that's happening. Now follow me. Are you worried about the stock market? Thank God most of us don't have enough sense to know what's happening anyway. But are you worried about it? Are you worried about the Middle Eastern confrontation? Persian Gulf? Iranian crisis? Iran-Iraq war? Are you worried about AIDS? Anybody that's got any sense at all is horrified about the possibility of the AIDS crisis. Our Lord looks down and sees this era, and he tucks away in this description of this era. For example, he says, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Now, it has not been until our age that kingdom could arise against kingdom. Nation rose against nation, but until the British Empire became so important, kingdoms impossible to rise against kingdoms. What it means is groups of nations shall arise against groups of nations. Talks about earthquakes out in California. I've got friends in California. Talked to one the other day. He said, right at the earthquake, he said that everybody out there, or not everybody, but he said most everybody, is just living in fear. Talks about, well, but it tucks away into this discussion of our age two little verses that are hardly ever used, and they don't really sound like our Lord. Look at verse number 19. In your patience possess ye your souls. Isn't that a wonderful verse? What the word patient means? The word patient means in your endurance. The word patience comes from two Greek words. One means abiding and the other means under. While you are abiding under what's been listed above, pestilence, earthquakes, war, disease, all of this, while you are abiding under that, in your patience, possess. And that word possess is very interesting. It means be your own property. You own yourself. Then in verse 14, there's something very interesting, an advice for us as to how to behave in these days. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. Now, what's God saying? God is saying, when you come to answer a question in this time, you shouldn't have to think what to say. You have yourself so possessed, and you've charted your own course, that you won't have to meditate before you answer. It's already settled what you're going to do, what you're going to say when all this transpires. Now, folks, look again, if you would, please. I'm taking more time than usual, though we have introduction. But look at verse number 10. Nation rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Verse 11, great earthquakes, famines, pestilences, fearful sights. Look at verse, it says, before all these should they lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to synagogues, prisons. Look at verse number 16. Ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsmen and friends. Some of you shall they cause be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my sake. Now what do you say while all this is going on? Stock market, AIDS, Persian Gulf, threat of war. What did he say to us? He said, in your patience, possess your own souls. He said, own yourself. And then he said, settle it, therefore, in your heart. So have it all settled, and then you won't have to meditate before you answer a question. You'll already have it all settled. Father, bless the message. Brief as it is, bless it. Calm us. Amen. He says, you're going to abide under some awful things. Jesus is talking here. He said, in that patience or abiding under, possess your own souls or be your own property. Look at me now. Look at me now. Everybody looking right this way. No, this is not class. This is church. Look right this way. Every week I got to say it. Right this way. He's saying, be your own person. Own yourself. Be your own property when all this comes. In verses 10 through 18, he's told us that we have rough days coming. Trials ahead. Now, he's not only talking, are you listening? He's not only talking about these international and national trials. He's talking about your own burdens in life, your own problems in life. He's saying you have some trials ahead, some burdens to bear. some problems to solve, some hard questions to answer. He said, don't, hear me now, don't let those trials own you. Don't let those trials determine your action. Now, folks, look, what he's saying is, don't fall apart. He's saying, don't you decide when a trial comes how you're going to act. Don't let that trial waver your course at all. You got your course charted. Just go ahead and do what you're supposed to do. And don't let things that happen determine what you do. You determine what you're going to do before these things happen. That's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, possess your own souls. Already have it decided what you're going to say. And then you won't have to meditate. The time comes up at that time to decide what you're going to say. Let me tell you something, folks. Don't let the stock market cause you to waver. Don't let it cause you to waver. Don't let the Persian Gulf thing cause you to waver. Just keep right on course. Just keep on doing what God has called you to do. He's saying don't obey the trial's order to quit. The burden says quit. Don't obey the burden. Possess your own soul. Own yourself. Don't give yourself or deed yourself to a burden and let that burden decide your course of action. He's saying don't let the trials order you to complain. When the trial comes, don't complain. Don't let that trial give you any orders. You own yourself. You possess your own self. You chart your course. And don't you let your behavior or manner or conversation be altered by a trial or a burden. What are you saying? Let the earthquakes come. God's still on his throne. Let AIDS come. God's still on his throne. And by the way, if you behave yourself, you don't have too much to worry about there. He's saying, if the earthquakes can come, God's on his throne. I mean, God's throne is not shaken by earthquakes. And God's riches are not determined by the stock market. And our position in Christ cannot be altered by burdens, heartaches, or circumstances. Now the time has come for pastors across this nation to settle their people down some. The time has come for us to say, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, personally, I wanted to see Mr. Bork on the Supreme Court. I didn't change a thing I'm going to do because he didn't get it. I hope Mr. Ginsburg will get it. But I'll tell you this, it doesn't really upset me a great deal if he doesn't get it. Because I know the person that made Ginsburg. I mean, I know the person that made Bork. And I've been following the stock market, and I want it to go back up. Good night. I own one share of stock at Hershey Company. Ray Boardman gave it to me. I make $1.50 a year on that, and if something doesn't happen, I'm gonna only make $1 this year. I'm going to lose $0.50 with this thing. Pray for me, folks. But Jesus, he looks down through his foreknowledge, and he saw all this. He said, own yourself. In your patience, as you endure under this age. What age? The age of Armageddon. What age? The age of worldwide war. What age? The age where God is inventing new diseases to punish a wicked world. And don't you kid yourself, AIDS is not the last disease we're going to face. And don't you kid yourself, AIDS is not the first disease we're going to face, or the worst disease we're going to face. Don't you kid yourself, God is not going to put up with the homosexual, lesbian generation who makes light of the very foundation of society, and that's the family and the home. God's not going to put up with that. But God says to his people, don't you worry about it. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Years ago, Dr. Evans, I called into the office. I was preaching in the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area. I called in from Cherry Hill, Pennsylvania. And Dr. Evans had called my secretary and said, have Brother Hiles call immediately. There's been a fire at the college. Boys' dormitory caught fire and burned. It's not usable. I called Dr. Evans. He said, we put the boys in motels around the area. This one boy's dormitory, one of them, was unusable, three-story dormitory. I walked on the campus. You could smell a fire everywhere. I smelled smoke everywhere. I walked in. That when Dr. Evans said on Tuesday afternoon, said, Brother House, please get here tomorrow. We need you in chapel. I make it in chapel every Wednesday anyway, but he said, please be here tomorrow. We need you to come to chapel tomorrow and settle down the students. I walked out on the platform, didn't say a word. I just started singing. Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Where there's joy, joy, joy. And I sang it again. Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Where there's joy, joy, joy. And I sang it again. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Eat your hearts out, music department. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Don't let jealousy grip your soul. Everything's all right in my Father's house. It's wrong to envy. Where there's joy, joy, joy. And I just sang it over. And pretty soon the students started singing it. Everything's all right in my Father's house. And pretty soon we started clapping and singing, everything's all right. And I guess for 10 or 15 minutes, we didn't do a single thing but sing, everything's all right. You think a little fire is going to determine a child of God's behavior? Not on your life, Buster. And you know, by the time we got through singing there, all we did was sing for 10 or 15 minutes. We clapped and sang, and pretty soon a bunch of nuts went, woo! And glory! And we got happy, and we sang and clapped, everything, sang it with him. Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Where there's joy, joy. You know, by the time we got through singing that for about 10 or 15 minutes, everybody in that building was glad we had the fire. That's what God is saying here. He's saying, own yourself in your trials. Own yourself. Don't let a fire change your behavior. Own yourself. Don't let a heartache change your behavior. Own yourself. Jesus is saying that. He lists all the trials of this age and the concerns and worries of this age. And he said, already have it settled in your hearts what you're going to say and what you're going to do. Don't let the immediacy determine what you're going to do or the emergency determine. Don't. What he's saying is, don't react, act. That's what he's saying. Don't react, act. And he's saying, in your patience, possess your own souls. Of course, don't obey the trial's order to quit. Don't obey the trial's order to complain. Don't obey the trial's order to change. Don't let the trial change, he said. Don't let the burden change you. Don't let the death of a loved one change you. Don't let a disease change you. Don't let unemployment change you. Decide beforehand, God is God. Decide beforehand, this is the Word of God. Decide beforehand, I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to own myself. Nobody else is going to own me. No trial is going to tell me how to act. No burden is going to control me. No circumstance is going to change my behavior. It's all set. God is my God. Christ is my Savior. The Bible is my book. Heaven is my home. And everything is all right because I own myself. Don't panic. That's what he's saying. Don't panic. Don't panic. Of course you'll hurt, but stay on course. Do not alter it. Do not be drawn into some secondary battles because of circumstances. Illustration. When the Israelites were journeying from the land of Egypt to the land of Canaan, they got almost to Canaan and they came to a country of an adversary called the country of Edom.
And in another country, it was an adversarial country called the country of Moab. God said to Moses, "Now Moses, you've got to go through Edom and Moab to get into the promised land. And this is what I want you to tell the people. You tell the people that while they're going through this land, not to turn to the right or to the left. Not to be affected by the folks, there'll be folks on the highway in Moab and Edom that'll throw rocks at you. They'll throw stones at you. They'll curse you as you go on. But don't you throw rocks back. And don't you curse back. And don't you respond back. You've got a journey to take. You're bound for the promised land. Don't let the glorious thought that at the end of that highway is the promised land, don't let that thought leave your mind. And don't let somebody heckling you over here on the side get your mind off the fact that you're bound for the promised land."
Years ago, about 3 years ago, we're having our nationwide youth conference. 5,000 teenagers here from all over this nation. Are you listening? All over this nation. I was going to preach to them out at our college by the lake. I was in my office, had a brand new sermon prepared. Then I was wrestling about what to preach. Then I decided, no, I think I'll preach an old sermon I used to preach years ago. But anyway, it isn't me. I started to walk out and a couple of letters were put on my door. And normally I put those letters up on the little credenza there in my office and read them later. Nationwide conference. Just about to go out to preach to the whole nation. I don't know why, but I went back to my desk and opened those letters. Two of the most profane, obscene letters I've ever read in my life. The first thing I thought to do was throw in the towel. Two of the most vicious letters I've ever read in my life. Filthy, dirty, vicious lies. I thought of this verse. Possess your own soul. I grabbed that old sermon. I've told this to no public group ever since it happened. But I walked out there before 5,000 young people to preach. And I said, no letter is going to get me off course.
Possess your own soul. Don't let a letter decide whether you're happy or not. You decide.
Preached that night, 800 young people walked the aisle, surrendering their lives to full-time Christian service that night. One of the greatest outdoor services I've ever seen.
What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that God says every kind of thing's going to come. Opposition's going to come. Criticism is going to come. War's going to come. Stock market breakdown's going to come. Famine's going to come. Earthquakes are going to come. Persecution is going to come. Hatred's going to come. But grab a hold of your soul and say, soul, I own you. Trial, you'll not tell me what to do. I'll tell me what to do. And burden, you'll not tell me what to do. I'll tell me what to do. In this time of trial and uncertainty and wavering and perplexity, Jesus said, decide what direction you're going to go. Go it. Going to college, go to get a degree, and over what happens, get it. Don't let circumstance determine it. Don't let criticism deter you. Don't get off on some little sideline. And that's what God told Moses, that you tell those Israelites that they're going to the promised land. They're only one little country away. A few miles down the road, there's a promised land. There's Canaan. The land that flows with milk and honey is right down the road. Don't let a bunch of heckling Moabites cause you to get your mind on them. Just keep on singing, on Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye. to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. Thank God, you're bound for the promised land. Control your own souls. Don't meddle with them. Don't bark back. Don't throw stones back. Just walk through, looking toward the promised land. Then Jesus lists here for us, as I have done nearly already. He lists for us the things that are going to happen in this age. See, Luke 21 is a prophetic passage. It is looking down to this age, the age of the end time. And he's telling us what's going to happen. Don't be surprised about earthquakes in California. God's already said. Don't be surprised about the Middle Eastern war. God's already said it. Don't be surprised about the AIDS situation. It's prophesied. And I'll say more about that in a few minutes. But God comes along and says, okay, let me tell you what's going to happen. And he says, in these things possess your own souls. In these things own yourself. You don't have to get rattled. That's what he's saying. You don't have to get rattled. You don't have to have a nervous breakdown. Call it off. We haven't got time to wait for you. Call it off. What things? He said, first, war. Folks, the Persian Gulf, according to Ezekiel 37:38, is going to be the center of warfare all the way through to the end time. All over the house. Aren't you afraid of Iran? No, I'm afraid of not finishing the task that God's called me to do. Aren't you afraid of World War III? Not on your life, I'm not afraid of World War III. I'm afraid of not finishing the job that God has called me to do. And he says, next, earthquakes. Earthquakes. Well, how's you going to keep going to California? Sure, I'm going to keep going to California. Well, what if you have an earthquake? I'm going to tremble a little bit. But if you fall in it, I'll be in heaven. But he's saying, own yourself. Look, what America needs is some political leaders in our nation's capital who know where they're going. And don't let every little wind, change the wind, determine their behavior. Mr. Reagan, increasing taxes would either hurt or not hurt. Now decide which, and don't every time a Democrat says something, don't check the wind. Every time some liberal Republican said something, don't check the wind. Decide what you ought to do. Possess yourself. Oh, we need some men. Good night, we need some men. Possess yourself. Control. Don't vote according to what you think will make you popular. Vote according to what your conviction is. Possess yourself. Then he said, famine's going to come. He said, as he looked through his telescopic view of the future, he said, famine's going to come. Lord, what are we going to do in case of a depression? He said, possess yourself. Already decide. I'm going to do what God called me to do. Could I say this? You know, probably the thing that the biggest contribution I make to this work around here is trying to keep you from panicking. Everything's all right in my Father's house. What's going to happen all over the house? Just keep on going. Possess your own souls. Own yourself. And he said, pestilence is going to come. The word pestilence is a very interesting word in the Greek. It means, and I'm quoting, an infectious, fatal disease. He said in the end time, are you listening to me? He said in the end time, there will come infectious, fatal diseases. And let me tell you again, folks, as sure as there is a sun that rises in the east and sets in the west, the AIDS epidemic in America is a judgment from the hand of Almighty God for this queer society we have. He said, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, all you got to do is put up with it while you're here. We'll be over another hour or two and you can go home. But somebody has got to say to America, there's a God in heaven. And he's not an old white Santa Claus doting granddaddy who's got Alzheimer's disease. He is an intelligent, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God, and he will not let America get by with her sin. He won't do it. He says to us today, don't let the pestilence change you. Decide where you're going. Decide what you're going to say. Don't let it change because the wind changes. Possess your souls. Own yourself. Control yourself. Hold the title deed to yourself. Then he said persecution is going to come. Hatred is going to come. And persecution will become more fanatical all the time. He said, possess your own souls. Keep on going your way. Don't let the Persian Gulf own you. Don't let earthquakes own you. Don't let fear of AIDS own you. He's saying, don't you let any circumstance own you. You own yourself. You possess your own soul. Well, there's so many illustrations I could use in clothing. I'm thinking about Mike Scott, one of our college students. He's now a graduate of our college, the full-time ministry in Florida. Mike married a lovely young lady in our college. Handsome couple, happily married. Not too long after they married, she was driving out here near Joliet and Burr Street, Sherrillville, Crown Point area, not far from the college. There was a collision. Mike came to my office one Friday night and said, Brother Hiles, my wife was just killed in a car wreck. I cried with him, prayed with him, loved him, fine young man. Lovely wife, one of our girls, out into eternity. Would you like to know what Mike did the next morning? Went out calling on his bus route. That's what this is saying. Mike had planned to go bus calling on Saturday, so he went bus calling on Saturday. His sorrow didn't change his duty. He possessed himself. His grief did not command him. His heartache did not order him. He possessed himself. Ladies and gentlemen, that's God's message to 1987. Possess yourself. Own yourself, because everything's all right in my Father's house. I saw my mama make it through one depression. I sort of expect her son could make it through another one. And you know, we had as much real joy back in those days as I've, in fact, more than I've seen around this mixed up mess we have today. God is my God. His will is my portion. And I have a course charted for me and charted for me. And I want to follow that course. And so when they come from the side to curse, I'll not let those attacks from the side decide my behavior. I will decide my behavior before those attacks come. And I'll keep on going. I'll not let the bad news and the foul winds that flow from New York to Wall Street tell me how to respond. I've already decided how to respond. They'll not tell me how to act. Burdens will not tell me how to behave. Heartaches will not change my course. Disease will not order me around. War and fear of war will not give me commands. I'll own myself. I'll decide what to do, thank you. Curse me if you want to, but that won't change me. I got a course I've got to go. I've got to follow. Fire me if you want to. from the mills,
but I've got a course I'm going to follow.
Let the disease come.
I got a course I'm going to follow. You know, every time I read those verses, I say they don't sound like Jesus. There's no these and thous there. No wherefores, befores. It just says, in your patience possess your souls. Doesn't sound like him, does it? I think the Lord's looking down through the telescope of prophecy to 1987, and he says to everybody in this house, there are 10,000 things that could cause you to want to crumble today. But don't you let those things affect you.
You own yourself!
And my mama died. The night before she died, 3 years ago last month, September 20th. The night before she died, the afternoon before she died, I sat beside her. She came out of a coma. And she asked me if I'd preach her funeral. And then she asked me, asked me to promise her that I would not cancel any speaking engagement because of her death. When I left O'Hara Field on September 20th, late in the middle afternoon, to go preach at a state convention in Charleston, South Carolina, I called the hospital and they said, your mother's dying. You better come quickly. I said, I can't come. The nurse said, well, why? I thought of the scripture. In your patience, while you're bearing up under, possess your souls. I promised Mama I wouldn't cancel a sermon. I flew to South Carolina, preached that night. Mama died 15 minutes before I left to go preach. I preached that night. Didn't tell anybody. Preached exactly what I preached if Mama was alive. You know why? Because Mama and I had already charted my course. We'd already decided. Between the time she passed away and the time I stood right here and preached her funeral service, I preached 8 sermons in 4 different states. What are you saying? I'm saying that Mama and I had already decided. I didn't have to decide every time I was going to preach or not. Mama and I decided back yonder in her room. Please don't. Hope I'm not being out of line, and I'll close with this. There's a man sitting in this room this morning who's a preacher. Has a daughter in our college. Pastor at a church in West Virginia. Now he's in mission work, sitting right here this morning. His own son, a year or two ago, teenage boy, had a heartache of some kind. I guess they still don't know all about it. But his own son killed himself. Man's here this morning, sitting within 4 or 5 rows where I stand right now. What's the man doing? Going on for God. Going on for God. The death of his son will not cause him to crack up. Death of his son will not be the thing that determines what he does. The will of God! So as the heartache comes, don't let a heartache cause you to quit your Sunday school class. Don't let a burden cause you to quit bus route. Don't you let the circumstances command you. In your patience, as you bear up under, possess your own soul. Own yourself. Father, I thank you that everything's all right this morning.